Hello.
Hello, Tice, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine. How's my audio?
Yeah, looks like you're coming through good. I'll wait for the chat to let me know if there's any kind of problems, but looks like you're coming through good. Hopefully we're all good.
Excellent. Good evening.
Good evening. How are things going tonight?
Very good. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's no problem.
How are you?
It's great to have you. I'm good tonight, cheers. Although I'm on my own tonight, I usually do this with a co-host, so I'm juggling loads of different responsibilities.
I know how it goes. I used to do a talk show of my own called Talking Games. It was about game design.
All right.
So I know like how incredibly hectic it is to host one of these.
So you're not just a musician as well then, so you actually work in game design too?
No, I don't work in game design, but I have an interest in game design, and I had game designers as a guest on my show to really delve into specific mechanics and what would happen if you changed them. That was basically the idea of the show.
All right, that is super cool. And what's the name of that again? Because I'll have to check that out, and I'm absolutely sure that my listeners will want to have a look at that.
It's no longer online, but it was called Talking Games, and it used to be on Twitch, but I haven't kept it up. I haven't kept a history of it. It's sitting on a hard drive, basically, for me to tidy it up. Basically, I felt after I ran a season of it that it was not enough of a quality for me to be comfortable with it. So I want to pick it up again at some point and just do it better. They're sitting on a hard drive.
Right. Well, it sounds like a really cool project nonetheless. And this is one of the things that I wanted to open with, actually, is that you seem like you've got a lot in your history. And before we started getting onto the Kinseed stuff, I mean, hearing that Kinseed music, it's very, very accomplished stuff. So I wanted to ask you about...
Thank you.
No problem. I wanted to ask about your musical history and like how you got started and how you've developed your musical skills over the years. Because as I say, from my research, it seems like Kinseed is one of your earlier video game projects.
It's like officially my first.
Yeah, exactly. I thought so, but I didn't want to be wrong on that. So.
I was an unknown that they took a chance on, which I am eternally grateful for. My background is in things like choir music. I've done a lot in that regard, and I am a percussionist in a medieval music group. We go to medieval festivals and play live. But I've always wanted to compose for computer games. And I previously worked with the producer, Matt Allen, on a different game in a different role entirely. And I had shown him some of my work that I've basically kept to myself. And so when he got involved in Kinseed and they were looking for a composer, he remembered the music that I had done and basically suggested to the team to try out if it would work, if it was a match. This is the first project of this type that I've been involved with, but I'm not new to music. I've always been interested in doing orchestral and choir and other music types. On my SoundCloud, you can see that also I diversify a lot. So, like, everything goes. To me, variety is the spice of life.
Absolutely. And it's really cool to hear you talk about these pieces that you were writing yourself and keeping to yourself, because we actually opened up the show with the piece that you sent me called Hero. And is that an example of that, just something that you were just writing for yourself?
Well, Hero I've put on my SoundCloud. It was meant as a demonstration, pretty much as you guessed. But I wanted to have a SoundCloud that was really diverse because I want to be diverse as a composer. So I created a lot of different styles on there. I'm doing orchestral things. I'm doing more EDM things. I'm doing more jazzy things. And this is just one of the things that I could have picked. that I thought would be appropriate for the show because it's most like game music from the stuff that's on there, I think.
Right, that's interesting. And you talk about this medieval influence as well, and that's something that I definitely hear in the Kinseed pieces that I've heard. And was that a deliberate thing then that you let this medieval interest that you've got kind of seep into it?
Well, Kinseed has a lot of different influences to it. Like I draw from very rustic acoustic guitar music. I draw from more German and even French music in certain areas because each area, each village and surrounding lands, basically, I give their own culture. So there's a lot of different villages in the game, so there's a lot of different cultures in the game, and I wanted to reflect that musically, which gives me a chance also to create a score that is very diverse. In the area where you grow up as a player, called the Vale, it's very, very peaceful and very, like you don't have a care in the world. I wanted it to feel like the ideal childhood that you will reminisce upon later on in life. But then you exit the Vale. The first area that you enter when you are allowed to enter, when you're allowed to leave the Vale, is Rivermore. And that immediately changes the pace in terms of music. It speaks of a more exciting time when you're allowed to explore a larger world. And then let's say you go off to the east from there. There's a town that's based more on a cross between German and French accordion music and brass. So you basically go from area to area, and there are lots of differences for you to discover. The whole premise basically was, how do you create a soundtrack that after 200 hours of game time doesn't bore you?
Well, it's so cool to hear about this cultural stuff that you were going out of your way to give each area its kind of different feel. I love it when composers do that kind of thing. So, you already gave us a little bit of a background on what we've heard, Rivermore. We've got Lotherwood coming up. So, could you talk a little bit about the kind of cultural things you were aiming for there?
Loverwood is a good example of that area that I was talking about, where there are French influences in this case. And with Loverwood, like any area that I have to write for, first thing I ask is, what does the player do there? And what do the NPCs that are there, what are they doing? How do they spend their time in that area? And Loverwood, as the name might imply, is very much about dating loved ones, courting them, even eventually having sex with them. But we do that in a very tongue-in-cheek way. So I've written the music as this overly romantic sort of score. And then once it actually gets to copulation, we go to this completely tongue-in-cheek wheel of copulation mechanic, which is kind of like a wheel of fortune, if you will, that shows the result of what you just did. And it completely subverts the atmosphere that was just created in the most like Lionhead-esque, tongue-in-cheek kind of way. So I'm really playing with extreme contrasts there.
That's fantastic to hear that background, particularly on that track, before we hear it, because we can bear that in mind when we're listening to it. I think that's going to change the way we hear it. That's really cool. With all of these different cultural influences and various different instrumentation going on, I'm interested in your actual compositional process because it's something that's obviously different for absolutely every composer. How do you actually go about composing your tunes? How do you start and do you have a kind of home instrument that you go to yourself?
I don't really have a home instrument, but what I do have is a template of full orchestra that I use as the backbone of every track in Kinseed. And then for the area where that I'm writing for, I add unique instruments that are specific to that area. So for Loverwood, for instance, I've added accordions, and a little bit more in the brass section. So basically, all of those spaces in that area will be coherent. They will be using the same sound palette. So that's my starting point. I already have a palette there. In this case, accordion music and the same German and French influences that are in that general area. So from then on, I already have a pretty good idea. And for everything else, I'm asking a lot of questions, like the aforementioned, what is the player doing there? What are the NPCs doing there? What does the place look like? And then I form a picture of how is the player supposed to feel when they're walking in that area. So you very quickly get a very accurate picture of the type of atmosphere that you're honing in on. And from then on, at some point, you're just going to have to sit behind your computer and try things and make a whole bunch of drafts that you show to the team, and it's either yes or it's no, or it's you got to change this or you got to change that, and eventually you get there.
Yeah, of course.
It's not magic. You have to try and try again.
Now, you talk about sitting behind your computer, and so I assume that there are some library sounds being used on this, but it's a really rich sound that you're getting on these tunes, and my ear isn't actually particularly amazing at differentiating between library and real stuff these days, as great as libraries have become. So, are we talking about a mix of real instrumentation and libraries here?
It's all samples, all
Right.
library, all of it. But what I started out with, that actually was the first time when the team said, yes, this is the Kinseed feel, was when I added an acoustic guitar that is also sampled. It was actually a demo of an acoustic guitar sample library that. It basically got me the job. This is the point where they said, "Yeah, you've nailed it." A simple acoustic guitar that just set the right tone. Everything else was kind of designed around it, but then I had to evolve it from there. But I don't have the means for this to go to an actual orchestra or to hire actual musicians, so I have to basically play everything in myself. And unlike a lot of composers, I don't really use a keyboard to do this. I manually put in every note with my mouse, and then I manually do all the programming on how the note is meant to be played. So it's a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of manipulation and things like that. Are there any particular like processes that you have or things that you do repeatedly to get that rich sound?
Well, it took a while to establish the template that I was talking about. It's not just that you have to select all your instruments, you have to put them all in a room. You have to basically tell the computer where they are in the stereo panning, how far back they are, which means basically when does the reverb arrive and when does the original sound of the instrument arrive. So you place them in a room together, you make it all sound coherent in that room as if they're all coming from the same space, and then you have to orchestrate in a way where all of the pitch range that you have is being used properly and nothing is being overused. If you do a bunch of brass in the low regions and you do a bunch of strings in the low regions and a bunch of woodwinds in the low regions and other stuff in the low regions, your low region is going to sound muddy. But if you spread it out just right, then you create a much more fuller sound.
And hearing about that manipulation kind of thing is always interesting to me, and it's cool to hear that you were doing that much kind of stuff as much as this composition as well. Because as I say, these are very, very accomplished tunes. But then on top of that, we've actually had asked in the chat whether you do the sound effects too, which I believe you do. So I wondered if you could talk a little bit
Yes.
about the craft of sound effects and how you go about that.
It was probably the scariest thing for me to do because I had no experience doing sound effects whatsoever. I had to learn it like on the fly from scratch. And what I use there is there's a sound library that you can get basic sound recordings of all sorts of things from. And I browse through them for stuff that I can use to build this effect with. And then, very much like writing music, I create different tracks for these sounds and I place them and I manipulate them until I created a unique sound that is completely our own. But it's very similar actually to composing.
And
It's a little hard to explain it really, but you basically create sounds from other sounds, just like you create an orchestral piece from flutes and strings and brass. It's not that different.
yeah, I absolutely love talking about this kind of thing because it's such a world of its own, I find, the manipulation of all of these different sounds. And I assume, and what I've heard from a lot of composers, that you actually just have quite a lot of fun with it, and it's actually a really creative side of it. Because although you said you went into it scared, did you end up having a lot of fun with it?
If you can manage not to be nervous, then you can have a lot of fun. But to tell you the truth, I was really nervous doing sound effects at first, but it's starting to get to a point where I feel comfortable, where I feel like at least somewhat I know what I'm doing.
And was there much
It's,
of a learning curve with, say, like new software and things like that? I'm not sure if middleware was used at all on this project.
I'm using Cubase, but I was already familiar with that before I started. It's, thank God I didn't have to learn a new program.
So there is no use of anything like WYs or anything like that behind the scenes.
No, that would be very interesting, but currently that's not within the scope.
Well, speaking of which, you talk about how this was officially one of your very first projects. So, have you got anything else on the slate or much coming up that we can look forward to alongside Conceit?
I'm currently working on a choir piece that will be performed by the Dutch Chamber Choir, which is an insanely good choir. As for location, we're not sure yet because this is really early on. It'll be in 2020, 2021. And every summer, basically, I have a whole summer worth of medieval festivals that I go to as a percussionist, which is all over the Netherlands and Germany mostly. And other than that, it's Kinseed all the way.
So, would a recording be available of this performance that's happening next year or the year after?
I will most definitely make a recording happen of that because that's one of those once in a lifetime opportunity type things.
Absolutely.
So there will definitely be a recording.
Yeah, because I know in particular me and my brother are actually a big fan of choral music, so I'd love to hear that myself when it comes around.
I'll be sure to keep you updated.
We should catch up on it and talk about it as well.
Absolutely.
Well, one thing I wanted to talk about Kinseed before we finished up this conversation actually was is how beautiful it is as a game actually. I mean, we've had a couple of pictures up on screen for anyone who's watching the YouTube version of this, and the pixel art is just absolutely astounding. And
We
how
have been so lucky with our pixel artists. I mean, they're amazing.
Truly. I mean, it's just breathtaking. I mean, you can like kind of just like zoom in on different elements of one screen, and it's just all so detailed and beautiful and gorgeous. And how much of this was actually in place when you started work on Kinseed? Because I'm unsure of the actual timeline, like how much of the game was actually created when you came on board, or whether you were so early that nothing had been yet.
Well, the first time that I saw the game was when I was in Los Angeles to visit Matt Allen, the producer. He demoed it to me, and that was what ended up being the Kickstarter version of the game back when that was, what, 2 years ago by now that we did a Kickstarter. And that version already looks very different from what you see now. the player character was radically different. It was all, I mean, it was already pretty, but what we got now, like what the pixel artists are doing is just blowing me away. It's nuts. And like every review that we see, like 9 out of 10 of them mention the pixel art.
Well, it's just absolutely stunning, and it's really interesting to hear you talk about how much it has changed over the course of things. So, how much have you maybe found that you've had to adapt or change your music over the course of it? Or you mentioned earlier in the interview that they say you basically nailed it. Has it kind of been like that? You've just been stayed on that thing that you nailed early on.
Well, I wasn't able to because once I established that sound, it basically became the sound of DeVille, the starting area that you as a player character grow up in. But then once you go beyond that, that style has to be further evolved. It has to grow into other things. It all still has to feel coherently the sound of Kinseed, but also diverse because areas are different. Like I'm working on scenes that are in a swampy area, and they will sound a lot more scary than what you hear in the ville. So it's a palette that definitely needs to keep evolving. But what's trickier for me is what I'm trying to do is with leitmotifs, I'm trying to establish a musical language that is very coherent. Leitmotifs are basically themes, for those who don't know, that represent things or characters or events in your story. And ideally, what I want is for all my leitmotifs to be super consistent because it's essentially a language. You don't just randomly change around the meaning of words and then expect to be able to make a coherent sentence. And music is no different, but game development is constantly changing. And I've been brought on at a pretty early stage, which has allowed me to make a very elaborate soundtrack. But it also meant that things that I used to think were one way, and therefore I represented them musically that way, have changed since then. That's just what happens in game design. Things change. So you have to sort of redesign your musical language, or you have to wait with putting certain themes in certain places until you know for sure that it's not going to change anymore. So, what I imagine is going to happen is fairly late on in development, I'm going to have to go back to all of my tracks and find all the places where I used specific themes and make sure that they're still correct.
And so these themes then, because I love what you say about how every area has its own identity and the culture, all of this, but also has to have this element of it that's definitely Kinseed. So is it then these motifs, these leitmotifs that are providing that thread throughout, as the different sounds around them change, it's the actual themes that are staying strong.
It's a part of it. There's the theming, but also the template that I'm using. The orchestral backbone doesn't change. What I'm doing is I'm adding instruments to that backbone for every area.
Of course, yeah.
So there's still it still all plays in the same space with the same general orchestra as a backbone. And that and then of course there's the inevitable part of my style being recognizable once you hear enough of it. And that's something that you can't really escape very well as a composer. So I'm basically using that as part of creating consistency. I'm letting that style be its thing.
Well, there really is a strong style to Kinseed, as we've already heard in that one track, and we'll hear it more in the second track coming up. But to finish the interview, and the last question I wanted to ask was, because you said that you wanted to be a video game music composer for some time, then that must mean that you must have some history with video games, and indeed have noticed its music over the years. So, what were some of the soundtracks, and indeed some of the games in your history that might have stuck out to you?
Well, the thing that really comes to mind for me is the soundtrack to Total Annihilation, which was done by Jeremy Soule, which was the first time when in a video game I heard a full orchestral soundtrack that would really crank up everything to 11 and just go full out. It was like epic drawn to its extreme. And I love that soundtrack. That soundtrack made me go, I want to go make music for video games. And then there's, of course, the music to Fable, which basically what happened as you've had come across in your interview with Russell Shaw. Russell was given a track by Danny Elfman and then had to make that track into a full soundtrack. And then for Kinseed, Russell gave one track to us, and I had to turn it into a full soundtrack. But the complication was I was not supposed to just emulate the style of Russell Shaw because Kinseed needed to be its own thing. That was part of the instructions I was given. So despite me being really influenced by how amazing Russell Shaw's orchestrations are, I was not to emulate that. I needed to do my own thing. So I had to actually go against my influences there.
Yeah, and there's some big shoes to fill, Russell Shaw as well, which hearing just the
I'm not even gonna try filling those. That's not, you can't.
well, this is it. This is one of the things that actually really impressed me when I heard the pieces that you sent over, and also some of the other Kinseed tracks that I've heard in my other research, was that I didn't hear it just being, oh, this is just Fable. This is just some diluted Fable soundtrack. It was totally its own thing, with its own kind of melodic feeling and everything. It is wonderful. So yeah,
Thank
don't
you.
worry about that. You're not following in his footsteps at all.
I mean, you cannot out Russell Shaw, Russell Shaw.
No, not at all. Which I think he probably had a similar feeling with Danny Elfman.
I imagine so. I mean, those are also some pretty big shoes to fill.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but you're all individual composers, and you've all got individual strengths, and that's why it's so great to talk to you all on this show. So thank you so much for speaking to me today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And no problem. And be in touch with me when anything's moved on this live performance next year, because I'd love to hear more about it and talk about it.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So we'll just jump right into Loverwood then, hear some more from Kinseed. Thank you very much one last time.
Thank you very much, too.
Bye for now, Tice.
Bye for now.